Revelation chapter 6. In our last study of Revelation, we saw an amazing worship service take place in the throne room of heaven. The lesson started with John weeping. He was crying because God sat down on the throne holding a scroll with his with writing in the front and the back. The scroll, that scroll was the title deed to the earth with the final judgment of God written and complete on both sides. The scroll had seven seals that could only be opened at an appointed time by an appointed person, and that person could not be found. Then the 24 elders told John to stop crying that the Lion of Judah was there and he could open the scroll. At this point, the worship service started as angels, created beings, and all the elders, without numbers, worshiped the true Lamb of God with a new song. Church, we saw and heard what true worship in heaven will look like, and that worship can look like, and that worship can look the same here on this earth. Tonight, as we enter Revelation chapter 6, we're going to see the Lamb of God as he starts to open the seven seals on the scroll that was given to him from the hand of God. So let's look at Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Then I, being John, saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals. And I heard, let me start over. Then I saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there was a white horse. The horseman on it had a bow and a crown that was given to him, and he went out as a victor to conquer. Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness for our sins tonight. Lord, we thank you for allowing us again to come back into your house to learn more about you. God, I pray that you would be with us right now. You'd settle us. You'd help us to understand what's taking place. Lord, that we might understand and be a better and a greater witness for you here as we walk out through these doors here in a few minutes. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for John as he wrote this book. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to see tonight one of the many reasons why he did write this book. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, as you just saw, I didn't read much. I just read the first two verses of chapter 6. We are slowing down. We're slowing down big time. I don't want to miss anything that's taking place here. Now, we'll speed up from time to time as we go through the book, but these next few weeks, we're going to slow way down. So tonight, the first thing I want us to see is John's vantage point, because that's the first thing that's addressed here. It says, then I saw the Lamb come, I saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals. I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come." Okay, so John is summoned. Tim LaHaye says this about John's vantage point. John is invited to look down and see the judgment of God on all those who are left behind after the rapture of the church. As Christ, the reigning Lord of heaven, opens each seal, this opening triggers an action that takes place on earth. The first four seals introduce the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which are conquest, war, famine, and death. The seven seals probably cover about 21 months of the first years of the tribulation. So we're looking at about the first year, almost 2 years of tribulation. These seven seals are being popped and opened. Okay? Now, understand, y'all remember when we were kids, especially you guys, remember the cheap remote control toys that we had? We'd get the remote control toys, and we just could not believe, Bill, that our parents bought us a remote control toy. And it was those poppers. Remember? Pop, and it'd go forward. Pop, and it'd go backwards. We thought that was the greatest thing in all the world. But every time we pushed a button, something happened. Every time we see one of these seven seals broken, immediately something is happening. He's not just opening the seal to read the document. As he's opening the seal, something is happening. Okay? Y'all with me? Everybody good? Okay, good. We see first an invitation. An invitation to John as Christ opens the first of the seven seals on the scroll that was taken from the hand of God. Why was John given this opportunity to see what is yet to take place here on this earth. Why is it that John got this opportunity? Have y'all ever wondered, as you read through the book of Revelation, all that we see, all that's recorded, why does John do what he does? Why is he given this great opportunity? Number one, John saw these things that we may know that they are true. They're true. Has it happened yet? No, but they're true. Now, let me ask you a question. What kind of preacher do you think John was after he saw what he saw? Ricky, you reckon he held back any? No. Now, we don't have that recording. We don't know what kind of preacher he was, but I can just imagine. I can just imagine that he was a ball of fire. I know things have taken place in my life, and when I've come back, I haven't noticed. Many of y'all have made the comment to me, your preaching changed after your dad died. I didn't see it, but many of y'all saw it. I don't, honey, do you think my preaching changed after my dad died? Okay, she's shaking her head, yeah. Things happen in our lives, and it kind of shakes us. Whether we realize it or not, it changes. I promise you tonight, listen to me, church, could you imagine seeing everything, and we just covered a small portion of what John saw. Can you imagine just seeing what John has seen tonight and not just transforming the way you minister to people, the way you preach the gospel message? So tonight, John saw things that he may know that they're true. Number two, John was given this knowledge that the world may know. That the world may know. Church, there is not one person who has ever lived or is going to be, who is ever going to be able to say, I didn't know. I didn't know. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 tells us that God reveals himself through his creation. Every single day that we may be drawn to him. When we are drawn to God, to seek God out, it is impossible to seek God out without finding his written word. In his written word, these events that we're discussing tonight are recorded. Nobody is going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, I didn't know. Yeah. Well, you had the opportunity to know. You could have known. You know, this past week, there were some children came to Awana, and they were Latino children. Now, I want to say this first of all. Years ago, Bailey Smith, a prominent evangelist, was doing a crusade in Texas. And this church had just built a tremendous family life center. And with the family life center, it had one of those rolling things that counts people as you walk in the door, kind of like at a movie theater or a stadium. And they were standing right there, evangelist Bailey Smith and this pastor, or this youth pastor, were standing right there. And these four Latino boys came in, and they tried to go in the family life center. And they said, ho, boys, this family life center isn't for you. And they said, what do you mean? We just came to play basketball with the rest of the kids. He said, it's not for you. It's for church members only. And as those four boys walked away, the pastor looked at evangelist Bailey Smith, and he says, those darn Latinos think we build this thing for them. Church, listen to me. When we get to the point where we're ministering to a certain type of people that look a certain way, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. One of the things I love about Chevis Oaks Baptist Church is you look around on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and it looks like what heaven's going to look like. And if you don't like the way the church looks like, you might, hey, listen, you're not going to like heaven. You're not. There's not a white section, a black section, a yellow section, or a red section. It is heaven, and that's what heaven is all about. But this past Wednesday night, there was a precious little boy, I was told, and I'm surprised none of you Awana leaders didn't, you know, speak up and say this. But he came, and somebody asked him, do you not have a Bible? And he said, no. Who was it that gave him the Bible? Bailey, my sweet baby. Where's Bailey? There she is. She wasn't here, sweetie. You were going to give this, but you right. So she said, "Well, I'm going to get you a Bible." And he said, "My own Bible? My own Bible?" And when he gave, when she gave him that Bible, I didn't see it, but I was told his eyes got big as saucers. He was so excited that he had a Bible in his hand. You know, do y'all remember when y'all first got your first Bible after you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Do y'all remember how excited you were? What happened to that excitement? Do y'all remember how excited you were? Listen, we take for granted that we have the Bible at our disposal. We do. Some of us have 4 or 5 copies. Some of y'all have the Bible on your cell phone right there in front of you, or your iTablet or iPad or whatever. You've got it in about 17, 18, maybe 100 different versions right there in front of you. Brother Kyle, what are you saying? Do you know in a lot of cultures, Central, South America, and Africa, if they hear an evangelist is coming, Amy and I know one guy right now in Central Africa, he's begging Americans to send Bibles. Begging. Please, Elijah, isn't it Elijah? Beg it, please send me Bibles. Why? They don't have any. It's precious to them. That they know God, they've encountered God, but they want to encounter the Word of God. I said all that to say this. Let me back up. In Mexico, right now, if there's an evangelist coming and they hear that he's got copies of the Bible, they will walk barefooted for 10 or 15 miles for just a chapter of the Bible. And here we have the full gospel in front of us all day, every day, and we don't take advantage of it. But Brother Kyle, what are you saying here? Listen to me. God reveals himself to his creation. He reveals himself to us. When we are drawn to God, to really know God, we can't find God without finding the Word of God. Cannot. And once we open the Word of God, guess what we have to deal with? The issues that we're dealing with tonight. We will not stand before God, especially those who were under the sound of my voice. We will not stand before God and say, I did not know this was coming. God, please, can I get a pass? Can you exempt me from what's about to take place because I did not know? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And yes, you do. And the sad thing is, church, and I know I'm speaking to the Sunday night class. Y'all are more faithful than the Sunday mornings. What are you doing with what you know? What is it that you're doing with what you know? This is getting ready to get scary, church. It's getting ready to get real scary. Listen, there's no way in the world that I would drive by anywhere, Ricky, there's no place that I'd drive by and I'd see somebody walking into a building with a black over raincoat on when it's 110 degrees outside, carrying a pump shotgun, and not try to get in that building and warn them that something's about to take place. But we do it every day. This is true. What we're going to talk about is true, and it's scary, and it's going to take place, and we're silent. What's one of the greatest sins we'll ever commit as Christians? Silence. To know the truth and keep it from those who need to hear the truth. To know the truth and not share the truth. Thirdly, why did John do this? Thirdly, John was allowed to see these events that he would record them, and all the world would know and be warned of what was coming. Now, church, I understand this is what I'm about to say here. The world may be blind; they might have a blind eye to these events, but they can never ever say they were not warned. How hard is it for any American to access a copy of God's Word? How many of y'all, especially in the South, how many of y'all have driven through truck stops and seen piles of Bibles just free for the taking? We've got this group called Gideons. We don't have any Gideons in our church. Do we have any former Gideons in our church? And the Gideons will go to schools if they can. They'll stand on sidewalks outside of schools and hand out New Testaments. They'll go into hotel rooms. Now, I want to encourage y'all, listen, when y'all go to hotel rooms, check and see if they have a Bible. Guess what kind of Bible it is? It's a Gideon Bible, That's exactly right. Listen, we cannot say that we don't know. If you don't know, it's because you don't want to know and you don't care to know. John is warning the world what he has seen. Do you not understand? Or do you understand that the prophetical clock started ticking May 14th, 1948? And you don't hear anyone saying anything at all about it. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? When Israel became a nation, the prophetical clock started ticking. Jesus said, "This generation shall not pass away until my return." Brother Kyle, nobody knows when Jesus is going to come. No, not exactly, but we have a good idea. We need to be paying attention. We need to be looking. We need to be praying. And we need to be warning people. Amen? Church, we need to understand that we're at this time, where we are at this time when John is called to come closer, and the first seal is broken. Where is the church? Where is the church right now? All of the events that we're seeing tonight, and we'll see through the remainder of this book, with the exception, I think, of one event, will happen after the church is raptured. So to answer the question as to where we will be, well, if you're truly saved, you'll be in heaven watching what we're now learning about tonight. Now, I want you to grasp something. As each seal is broken, as each bowl is poured out, everything that that's about to take place is going to grow with intensity. Okay? It's going to grow with intensity. It's kind of like when you look at your child. Don't do that. I said don't do that. Now, at my house, that's it. Okay? But a lot of parents will do, I said don't do that. Then they'll give them the stink eye. And then it's on. As each one of these seals is broken, we see an intensity in the line of progression. When we get to the trumpet judgments, you're going to see an intensity of line of progression. The further down you get, closer to seven, you are going to see the events that are taking place are greater intensity. Same with the bowl judgments. So, what's taking place? The first seal is broken. As the first seal is broken, John has a front row seat watching what is taking place on the earth. What is it that John saw? And we too will see as Christ opens that first seal. Now we've got a front row seat right with John. What is it that we're going to see? John saw a white horse and one who sat on the horse. A great debate is going on throughout the church age, the age we now live in now, as to who this first horseman is. Some believe that with given the rider was riding a white horse, it must be Christ. But others that I fall in line with believe that this is not Christ as Christ is revealed in chapter 16. And for this to be Christ, he would be ushering in the millennial reign ahead of the tribulation, meaning that the tribulation would be taking place during the millennial reign. This view does not line up with Scripture concerning Christ's return and reign. How do you qualify Scripture, church, Wednesday night crowd? How do you qualify Scripture? With Scripture. This idea that Christ is the one riding the white horse does not line up with other Scripture. So, what makes sense? What does make sense? What does line up with Scripture that this person who is riding the horse is not Christ, but the Antichrist? Riding the white... hold on a second. He's riding a white horse. Oh, well, we know according to Jewish tradition, if he's riding in on a white horse, that means he's a king who's coming in to we know this. It's what it's supposed to be, right? Right? Now pay attention. We're going to take a turn here. The world is going to be deceived into believing that the Antichrist is the Christ, and he is symbolically released to cause destruction upon the earth, riding a white horse that is meant to be ridden by a true king. Now, we saw in Thessalonians, it says that you know, people are going to, when Christ raptures the church, when the Antichrist comes, what are people going to believe? Or who are the people going to believe the Antichrist is? Christ, the Messiah. So does this make sense that as he comes riding in the clouds on a white horse, that he's meant to be thought of as the Christ, but he's actually the Antichrist? Number two, the rider is carrying with him a bow. The Scripture says a bow, but no quiver filled with arrows, meaning that he is coming to conquer, not with weapons, but with diplomacy. How is the Antichrist going to take over the rule of the world? With diplomacy. People are going to look at him and think, oh, he is the Savior of the world because he is going to bring us all together. Well, what's going to break everybody apart? What is it that's going to fracture the world, that's going to mess the world up, that's going to divide the world? The rapture. People are going to be going crazy wondering what in the world is going on, what's taking place. And this one person, whoever it is, they might be alive today. As a matter of fact, I believe they probably are today. They're alive, waiting in the wings, waiting to be unleashed. Listen, when all that takes place, this person is going to be a voice of reason. He's going to calm all the world down and say, hey, listen, guys, listen. I have the answer. He's going to come and bring the world back together, a false peace, not through wars at first, but through diplomacy. Now, number three, Scripture says the rider is wearing a crown that was given to him. Did y'all see that? The rider was riding a crown that was given to him. He does nothing to earn this crown. He is given the crown that with the intent of deception. One thing we have got to understand, and this is going to hit some of us right between the eyes, we've got to understand is, and it's hard for us to believe and to grasp, is the Antichrist is part of God's plan. He is. We don't like it. And, you know, our atheist friends, they look at this and say, I don't believe that God, a loving God, would do this. Listen, God does it because He loves us. He's warned us. This is your warning. This is your time to listen and get up. To pay attention. Listen, God's will on those who refuse to accept His Son today is the Antichrist. Those left behind will believe a lie. What's the lie? That He's not the Antichrist, that He is the Christ. Can you believe that? I believe it because Scripture says it. Now, church, we have got to believe, understand, and know in our hearts that we had better start proclaiming in our mission fields. God is restraining Satan and doing what he really desires to do on this earth. But one day is coming when Satan will be given permission to carry out his will by God Himself. God's going to say, okay, go. That's not going to be a pleasant day. I don't want to be around here when that takes... Listen, is it not bad enough with God restraining Satan today? Does anybody in here want to sign up? I want to be around. I want to see what it's like when Satan has his will and his way on this earth. But a day is coming. Who or what is restraining Satan on this day? The Holy Spirit of God is restraining Satan for and on behalf of the church. But when the church is gone and we're safely behind heaven's gates, God will hold up His scroll. Christ will take it from His hand, the hand of God, breaking that first seal, and Satan will be unleashed on this earth. Church, that makes sense, and it falls in line with prophetical eschatology or end times scriptures. It's not going to be pleasant. I don't want to be on this side of the veil. You don't have to be. Listen, what should I tell people when I'm talking to them about the Lord? I'd ask them, say, look, you know, have you read through the book of Revelation? Everybody knows the book of Revelation is scary. It's not to me. Is it scary to y'all? I mean, there's some bad things going to happen. Oh, absolutely. Is it going to affect me? Absolutely not. Is it going to affect people that I love? I'm afraid so. I'm afraid so. I just like y'all, have some smart aleck cousins and family members who look at me and say, what does your God say about so-and-so? What is your denomination? What does your Jesus have to say about so-and-so? Do you know in this day that all that they believe will be thrown away and they'll believe a lie? We need to warn them. We need to love them enough to tell them the truth. Now, let me ask you this. Are you ready for this day to come? You personally. Are you ready for this day to come? Are you 100% sure that you will be called up in the rapture? Brother Kyle, I'm kind of hoping that I live, you know, a long enough life, the rapture. You can't count on that. I can't believe how the world has digressed in the last 5 years. It blows my mind. What we call right is wrong and wrong is right. Every single day, and we digress a little bit further every single day, drawing ourselves closer to this time of the rapture of the church. Prophetical clock is ticking. Are you sure that you're ready? Are you sure you're going to be called up when the rapture takes place? Are you able to tell people what is scripturally going on when they ask? That's why I really believe that God led me to preach through this book of Revelation at this time, at this place, in this church. That we may know. I don't want you to be... Listen, John did not want you to be ignorant. He loved us enough that he recorded this. He was told to record it. But we have the answers right here, church. All we have to do is study it and apply it. Are you willing to do that? Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We know, God, we understand that with each one of these seals being broken, the world is going to have unleashed on them something new and more devastating. God, help us, Lord, to see where we are first. See where we need to be. Make sure we and our families are safe. And God, proclaim it to the world that they might know. Lord, help us to sound a warning signal. Not for ourselves, but for you. Lord, I pray that you would cause a great revival to break out in America in these last days. That Americans would come back to you. One last great revival. One great last harvesting of souls before you come and gather your church. We love you, Lord. We pray that you would do something during this invitation. In Jesus' name, I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? As the music plays.